Good evening. We had 103 people this morning. Now where they are this evening, I don't know. But I'm thankful that you are here. I think at last time, Cletus said it was the best of the crop. The crème de la crème. Get rid of that. I'm going to read tonight from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 5. Paul is speaking here. I must continue to brag. It will do no good, but I will talk now about visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who was taken up to the third heaven 14 years ago. I do not know whether the man was in his body or out of his body, but God knows. And I know that this man was taken up to paradise. I don't know if he was in the body or away from the body, but God knows. He heard things he is not able to explain, things that no human is allowed to tell. I will brag about a man like that, but I will not brag about myself, except about my weaknesses. Now I'm going to speak tonight on the topic, where are the dead? I think we're all interested in the future life. I've often thought about it. I do not have a single musical body in my bone, and I was kind of worried about playing harps. Are about singing. maybe the spiritual money can sing and play instrument. But we all think about the future life after this one has gone on. And we would like to know many things about this state. Will we be conscious? Will I know LB when I get to this place? Will I know my mother when I get there? Will I be even conscious? That's a question that interests me. But maybe not knowing about death and the things thereafter, it just might be a blessing. Maybe those are things I don't want to or need to know. But one thing we need to remember is that God loves us. He loves us greatly. And if some of these things were so important, He would have told us. He would have revealed it in His Word, and we would know all about death and the life thereafter. But God has spoken on the subject. He has touched upon it, and there are things we can know about life after death. So we must learn to be content with what God reveals to us in His Word. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I listen to programs on television, I just get totally amazed, thinking, where in all the world are these people coming from? These are shows where doctors and psychologists have compiled stories of people with their so-called near-death revelations. For example, I saw a light at the end of the tunnel, and I was heading toward that light, and it kept getting... Where does that kind of speculation and thinking get us? I think it gets us nowhere. And that therefore we will remain by the truth of God's Word and not about what somebody thinks they might have seen as they might have been dying. Because the Bible reveals stories that the Lord Himself talked about. And the things that the Lord Himself did, our Lord and Savior, we know at least that He did raise people from the dead. Not possibly maybe dead, but truly dead. We know that Jesus, for example, raised from the dead the son of the widow from Nain. We know that He did raise from the dead Jairus' daughter. We know, probably the most famous of all, we know that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He even cried with the sisters. And sometimes, and maybe you are like me, wonder, did anybody there happen to ask them, Lazarus, did you see us crying? Did you know we were hurting when you were gone? Where were you? What was it like? Did you notice Jesus came and cried with us? Did you notice these things? Were those questions asked? We don't know. I can imagine they were at least curious. Or what about the father of Jairus or this mother whose son was raised from the dead? But you know, the Bible doesn't speak on those topics. It doesn't tell us if the questions were asked or if an answer was given. Though I am assuming that no answer was given to those types of questions. From 2 Corinthians 12, what we just read, I have come to the conclusion that even if they wanted to have spoken on the subject, they couldn't. Remember the words of Paul? He said, he heard things. Now where did he go first off? Verse 3 says, and I know that this man was taken up to paradise. And then he says, there he heard things he is not able to explain, things that no human is allowed to tell. So, even if the questions were asked, I do not think that they could have given answer to where they were or what they had seen. Because Paul said, these things were not for humans to talk about. Interesting topic, isn't it? Life after death, and where do the dead go? If it was forbidden for Paul to speak of such things, then I think the son of the widow, and Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus also could not have spoken to these topics. We must stay by what is allowed and revealed in the Word of God. So what does the Bible teach us? What does it teach us about where the dead go when they pass from this life? First, we need to realize that man has a dual nature. Man has two sides of him. He is physical, he has an earthly body. But secondly, we are spiritual. We have a spirit that God has given us. Paul declares in 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker, but our spirit inside us is made new every day. Or in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, you will turn back into the dust of the earth again, but your spirit will return to God who gave it. The Holy Spirit clearly divides human beings into these two sides, the physical earthly side and his spiritual side. One returns to dust and ash, one returns to God. Yes, we are of a dual nature. Now we know something even more. We know what Jesus meant when he talked to that penitent thief on the cross, when he said, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. That body would decay. It would rot. It would turn to dust, to ash. But Jesus knew of the dual personality and knew that a part of that thief and a part of him would live on in a place that Jesus called paradise. And in a few verses later, verse 46, the Bible says, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Then we know his body became lifeless, and his friends buried it. In the 7th chapter of Acts, the story of the stoning of Stephen, as he died, it says he cried out in prayer, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. What does this tell us? It tells us that at death, we do not cease to exist. A part of us continues on beyond the grave. The body in the grave turns to dust and to ash. But the spirit lives on. And that's the question of this evening. Where does the spirit live on? Where does the spirit of man go when the body stops working and life ends? Does it immediately go to its eternal destiny, to heaven or to hell? Perhaps you've heard preachers in funerals say that very thing. But is it true? Do we immediately go to heaven or hell at our death? And if the spirit does go into heaven, does it mean the spiritual abode of God where the righteous shall live in eternity? The spirit of man goes to another place to await the judgment before it goes on to that eternal abode. And this is what we're going to be looking at this evening. Now let me explain why I say we do not at our death go straight to heaven or hell. Why we do not yet go to the abode of the righteous in eternity and to the abode of God Himself. The Bible teaches us there will be a general judgment when all mankind will be judged. I'll speak on judgment another Sunday evening, but a few things I will talk about tonight. If people were judged at their death and sent immediately to heaven or hell, would there be need of a general judgment at the end of time? That wouldn't make sense, from logic anyways. Jesus spoke of the judgment day as being universal in scope. All nations, past, present, and future, are going to be there. Let's just read what Jesus said in Matthew 25, 31 and 32. The Son of Man will come again in His great glory with all His angels. He will be king and sit on His great throne. All the nations of the world will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them into two groups as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Or in Matthew chapter 12, 41 and 42. On the judgment day, the people from Nineveh will stand up with you who live now. And they will show that you are guilty. When Jonah preached to them, they were sorry and changed their lives. And I tell you that someone greater than Jonah is here. On the judgment day, the queen of the south will stand up with you people who live today. She will show that you are guilty because she came from far away to listen to Solomon's wise teaching. And I tell you that someone greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh lived some 500 years before Jesus Christ. The queen of the south lived somewhat of 1,000 years before Christ. Yet Jesus said what? They would stand with you who are alive today at judgment. And when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2:34, he said, "For David did not ascend to heaven. Yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand.'" David too was somewhat 1,000 years before Jesus. And the Bible teaches he did not yet ascend to heaven. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, said, "So the Lord knows how to save those who serve Him when troubles come. He will hold evil people and punish them while waiting for the judgment day." So where are the Ninevites? Where is the queen of the south? David, where are the unjust? And all those who have passed on before us, who are awaiting judgment. They are somewhere waiting. But where is the question? They are in what the New Testament calls Hades. This is a word that comes straight from the Greek because it's kind of hard to translate. And it's been translated wrong in many translations, including the King James. Hades is the unseen world where the departed spirits go when life ends upon this earth. That word also has a second meaning. It means all receiving. I'm not talking about a wide receiver. An all receiving place. A place that receives every soul that departs life in this world, both good and bad. Even Christ went to Hades at his death. Let me read to you from the New American Standard Bible. I think it translated it best, about this time period. In Acts chapter 2, verse 31, in the New American Standard Bible, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. Talking about both aspects of the humanity, both spiritual and the physical. King James translates it here, hell. Our Lord and Savior in hell. Can you imagine that? Because the word is translated wrong. It means Hades. And also the NIV and other modern translations translate that word Hades into grave. But I think that's also a mistake. The New American Standard didn't translate it. It left it as it was, Hades. Hades, the realm of the dead before Judgment Day. All of our friends and loved ones who have passed on before us are waiting the Judgment Day in what the Bible has called Hades. But Jesus promised the thief on the cross, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." So paradise must be a part of Hades. It is the part of Hades where the righteous go. But paradise is not in heaven. If by heaven we mean the eternal abode of the righteous and the eternal home of God. Jesus spent those 3 days and nights in paradise, in what is known in the New Testament as Hades. Remember what Jesus told Mary in John chapter 20, verse 17, after his resurrection? "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Paradise. Paradise means actually a pleasure garden. And it reminds me of the Garden of Eden. A place of good. The departed saved are in paradise. A part of Hades, awaiting judgment, after which they will enter into the heavenly abode and realm of God for all eternity. We mentioned a while ago that God holds evil people and punishes them as they await judgment. Well, where are they being held? He cast them into what the Bible in the Greek called Tartarus, which is a second part of Hades. Let's read 2 Peter 2:4. "When angels sinned, God did not let them go free without punishment. He sent them to hell and put them in caves of darkness where they are being held for judgment." Well, this word hell is the word Tartarus. And it is not the same word for hell that is later translated the eternal abode where the evil and Satan and the evil angels will go. It's again unfortunate that many translations have translated this word wrongly to hell. Though many of the versions do put a little footnote and say, Tartarus, a part of Hades where those who are not righteous are punished, awaiting judgment today. A good place to get a view of this and understand this thinking is a story that Jesus told. A story from our Lord and Savior in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. Let's read it together. "There was a rich man who always dressed in the finest clothes and lived in luxury every day. And a very poor man named Lazarus, whose body was covered with sores, was laid at the rich man's gate. He wanted to eat only the small pieces of food that fell from the rich man's table. And the dogs would come and lick his sores. Later, Lazarus died. And I like this part of Jesus' story. The angels carried him to the arms of Abraham. Isn't that amazing? When the righteous die, that the angels come and carry that person into the arms of Abraham. The rich man died too and was buried. I read nothing of angels here. In the place of the dead, Hades, now here it's translated correctly, he was in much pain. The rich man saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. He called, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am suffering in this fire." But Abraham said, "Child, remember when you were alive, you had the good things in life, but bad things happened to Lazarus. Now he is comforted here and you are suffering. Besides, there is a big pit between you and us. No one can cross over to you, and no one can leave there and come here." The rich man said, "Father, then please send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers, and Lazarus could warn them so that they will not come to this place of pain." But Abraham said, "They have the law of Moses and the writings of the prophets. Let them learn from them." The rich man said, "No, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they would believe and change their hearts and lives." But Abraham said to him, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not listen to someone who comes back from the dead." Did someone come back from the dead? Did they listen? But some important facts are learned from the story that Jesus himself told. First off, we know there is a place for the wicked, for the unforgiving people who await judgment. Tartarus. A place of punishment while they await judgment and their eternal abode in hell. It is not hell where they are at, but it is a part of Hades. And we see that there was... Let me read something. I'm getting ahead of myself. To show that there is another place they will go after judgment. I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. "Then I saw a great white throne and the one who was sitting on it. Earth and sky ran away from him and disappeared. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and the book of life was opened. The dead were judged by what they had done, which was written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. Each person was judged by what he had done. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." You see, there is another place for eternity where those who would not obey God, where Satan and the angels that had fallen from heaven will spend eternity. They were waiting somewhere else. Hades. Our departed loved ones in Christ are not in Tartarus. But if they were Christians, if they were washed in the blood of the Lamb, they are in paradise. I guess I should put a little comma, paradise, Hades, as Apopka, Florida. They are being comforted as they await judgment day, when they will be allowed to enter into heaven, the final abode of the righteous in Christ. That day that Jesus said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." For those who died outside of Christ, they are in Tartarus, awaiting judgment day. And there is a great gulf between the two places. Abraham said, "Even if I wanted to dip my finger in water and come to you, I cannot because of this great gulf that separates us." So according to Luke 16, they are fully conscious. It appears not that they can see and know what is happening on earth. As a matter of fact, Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 6 says, "The living know they will die, but the dead know nothing. Dead people have no more reward, and people forget them. After people are dead, they can no longer love or hate or envy. They will never again share in what happens here on earth." Brethren, God has made every provision He can to prevent mankind from entering into a life of punishment. He doesn't want us to be punished. It was never His intent that we go to hell. Hell was prepared for Satan and those angels who were cast out, and not for mankind. A person's eternal destiny is irrevocably determined by the time he dies. There is no second chance, according to the Bible, after one dies. That gulf was not crossable. That's a word. Abraham said, "We can't come to you and you can't come to us." That means, my brother and sister in Christ, Jesus has made it clear. If you want eternal life, it is in this world now where it is attainable. So it is extremely urgent that we give attention to the important things now while we are alive. At your death, it will be too late. It's important that we consider our children now and not wait until they grow up, because they might not be quite so listening at a later age. Do you want to be a Christian? Do you want to enter paradise and eventually attain the goal of living eternally with God in heaven? It's still possible. This evening, if you come to Jesus, if you take Him on in faith, and in faith let yourself be baptized, washing away your sins, because in faith you will put on Christ, it's not too late. You can join all the saints in paradise and eventually attain heaven if you come tonight as we stand and sing.